brings back memories of those times. Our ages were very different, of course, and our association lasted but a single year, yet I always used to feel that there was something about the deceased that moved people deeply. To be quite honest, I would never have imagined that Mr. Honda would name me specifically as the recipient of a keepsake, nor am I certain that I am even qualified to receive anything from him. But if such was his wish, then I will certainly do so with all due respect. Please contact me at your earliest convenience. When I dropped the card into the nearest letterbox, I found myself murmuring old Mr. Honda's verse, "Dying is the only way for you to float free, Nomonhan." It was close to 10 before Kumiko came home from work. She had called before 6 to say that she would be late again today, that I should have dinner without her and she would grab something. "Fine," I said, and ate a simple meal. Again, I stayed at home, alone, reading a book. When she came in, Kumiko said she wanted a few sips of beer. We shared a medium-sized bottle. She looked tired. Elbows on the kitchen table, she rested her chin in her hands and said little when I spoke to her. She seemed preoccupied. I told her that Mr. Honda had died.
"Oh, really?"
she said with a sigh.
"Oh, well, he was getting on in years, and he was almost deaf."
When I said that he had left a keepsake for me, though, she was shocked, as if something had suddenly fallen out of the sky.
"For you?"
she exclaimed, her eyebrows twisting into a frown.
"Yeah, weird, isn't it?" "He must have liked you."
"How could that be? I never really talked to the guy," I said. "At least I never said that much. And even if I did, he couldn't hear anything. We used to sit and listen to his stories once a month, and all we ever heard from him was the Battle of Nomonhan, how they threw Molotov cocktails, and which tank caught fire and which tank didn't, that kind of stuff."
"Don't ask me," said Kumiko. "He must have liked something about you. I don't understand people like that. What's in their minds?"
After that, she went silent again. It was a strange silence. I glanced at the calendar on the wall. Her period was not due yet. I imagined that something unpleasant might have happened at the office.
"Working too hard?"
I asked.
"A little,"
Kumiko said, after taking a sip of beer and staring at what was left in her glass. There was an almost defiant tone in her voice.
"Sorry I was so late, but you know how it is with magazine work when we get busy. And it's not as if I do this all the time. I get them to give me less overtime than most. They know I have a husband to go home to."
I nodded.
"I'm not blaming you," I said. "I know you have to work late sometimes. I'm just worried that you're letting yourself get tired out."
She took a long shower. I drank my beer and flipped through a weekly magazine that she had brought home. I shoved my hand in my trouser pocket and found the pay there from my recent little part-time job. I hadn't even taken the cash from the envelope. Another thing I hadn't done was tell Kumiko about the job. Not that I had been hiding it from her, but I had let the opportunity to mention it slip by, and there had never been another one. As time passed, I found it harder to bring up the subject for some strange reason. All I would have had to say was, "I met this odd 16-year-old girl from down the street and took a job with her doing a survey for a wig maker. The pay was pretty good, too." And Kumiko could have said, "Oh, really? Isn't that nice?" And that might have been the end of it. Or not. She might have wanted to know more about Mei Kasahara. She might have been bothered that I was making friends with a 16-year-old girl. Then I would have had to tell her about Mei Kasahara and explain in detail where, when, and how we happened to meet. But I'm not very good at giving people orderly explanations of things. I took the money from the envelope and put it in my wallet. The envelope itself I crumpled and threw in the wastebasket. So this was how secrets started, I thought to myself. People constructed them little by little. I had not consciously intended to keep Mei Kasahara a secret from Kumiko. My relationship with her was not that big a deal. Whether I mentioned it or not was of no consequence. Once it had flowed down a certain delicate channel, however, it had become cloaked in the opacity of secretiveness, whatever my original intention may have been. The same thing had happened with Krita Kano. I had told Kumiko that Malta Kano's younger sister had come to the house, that her name was Krita, that she dressed in early 60s style, that she took samples of our